Okay, welcome to the Danieltown Planning Commission meeting. This is Wednesday, August 16th, 2023, 7:07 p.m. at the Wasatch County Services Building, 55 South 500 East in Heber City. First item on the agenda is public comments. So if there's anyone here that's not already on the agenda that has comments, they're welcome now.
All right, come on.
Yeah.
There?
Yeah, please.
Make sure I follow procedure.
That's mine.
For those of you who don't know me, my name's Heber Taylor. I live at 227 East, 3000 South, and I am interested in building a garage behind my house. And I'm not really aware of what this is. I'm just here to jump in and tell you guys I want to build a building and ask for
direction.
Direction.
There you go.
I thought you were going to say forgiveness because I already built it.
Eric, shoot.
That's your man.
So if you is going to build an accessory garage, is that what you're thinking?
Like?
A garage behind your house?
Yeah, garage behind my house.
So we call that an accessory structure.
Okay.
And so Amelia here, you'll go down to Adura Engineering, right across the highway, right above June Piles.
Okay.
Everybody knows where June Pies are, and they don't know where you are.
Popular.
I do. I've been there.
And she'll actually walk you through that process, help you fill out the permit, need a site plan, need your setbacks on there.
Right.
And then if I imagine you are you getting a drafted engineered?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll need the engineered set of plans. And then when it gets now the cutoff, the end of the month, so you want to do this before the end of the month to be on the next month at the end of the year to get that permit. So, but that's the starting process.
Okay. Okay. So then I'll come see you.
Yep.
Okay. Do you work just regular hours?
Yep. I'm there Monday through Thursday, 7 to 5, and then 8 to 10 on Friday.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, if not, we'll move to item 2, which is business licenses, which I think is in your packet. So does anyone have any questions or anything?
Chip is here if you want to ask him any questions.
Any questions? Question would be, are you storing any equipment or anything related to this, or is this
no,
just office job?
All my property is out of state, actually. I just manage it for my office.
So, sitting in the office doing something good.
Questions?
No questions.
I'll make the motion that we approve the application for business license for Palm Management Inc. at 429 West 3000 South in Danville.
Okay. Probably need to amend that to that we recommend to the town council.
We recommend to the town council that we have.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
Again, yes.
Horner, yes.
Wagner, yes.
Ben, yes.
Okay. Carries? Okay. Next item are some code changes that are needed. Mary Duggan's going to present that.
First of all, we're Town Daniel, not Daniels. Everyone knows that. But anyway, so remember, I am a town council person for the rest of this year. But tonight I am appearing before you as the acting secretary for the Board of Appeals. you recall that when we had our Board of Appeals, or I'm sorry, the original training, we talked about the Board of Appeals being a separate body. It has nothing to do with the Planning Commission or the Board of Appeals. Completely independent. So as a council person, I'm also kind of organizing that as well. We had an appeal. You'll recall the Smith building permit that you denied because it was the expansion of the garage encroached into the setback. And so they decided to appeal that decision, and they came to the Board of Appeals on July the 11th. It was our organizational meeting. We have 5 members on our board. We only had 3 that night. Now, prior to the meeting, we thought we were going to have all 5 there. And at the last minute, we were informed that 2 could not make it. So we did have a quorum, but we had a little bit of a problem afterwards. Heber Taylor is now our chair of the Board of Appeals for at least this year, and we'll see if he continues on as the chair next year. We have to be reelected next year. But he's here tonight, so I'm glad you're here so that you'll know what's happened. After the meeting, well, I guess I will say, at the meeting, the vote was 3-0 to uphold the decision of the Planning Commission to deny the permit based on the setbacks. So the applicant was represented by an attorney, and the attorney has indicated that he would like to perhaps file a lawsuit. Now, this has nothing to do with you, and it has nothing to do with the Board of Appeals. The town is carrying that. You've done your job. You did exactly what you were supposed to do, and these things do happen from time to time. A threat of a lawsuit is not the same as a lawsuit, but you cannot control who will sue anymore. So, for a long time, I will let you know that the Board of Appeals has only met in 17 years 3 times. So we haven't had a lot of practice or experience with this. The code that we currently have is the code that we adopted as a town in 2006 from Wasatch County. And in that code, the Board of Adjustment, as they called it, was already all set up as 7 members. In 2008, the Daniel Town passed an ordinance setting up our own Board of Appeals. So we have that conflict of Board of Adjustment, Board of Appeals. It's an interchangeable term, but that's what we do. And by our code, we're the Board of Appeals. There are 37 mentions of Board of Adjustment in our current code. And there is also one part of the statute that conflicts with what we need to do. So, this is how we do code changes, and I apologize for the lack of professionalism on this. I did not have time to go through and redline everything. But the red lines indicate the things that I would like to delete, and the blue is what I would like to add. I should have given Eric something here. Sorry, Eric.
It's okay. I don't have a vote.
So this is just a draft. And you know, as you know, any of these code changes or land use decisions in the land use area has to come first to the Planning Commission. Then you have to take a look at it, make a recommendation to the Town Council. The Town Council, you have to have a public hearing first, then make a recommendation to the Town Council. The Council has a public hearing before they can adopt any changes. That's how the system works. You can see here that I have quite a bit of blue. If you'll go with 802.08 first, and I've added the heading Board of Appeals just to make sure that that's delineated there. Down under public hearing, I mean, you can see the number of times I've had to mark out adjustment and write in appeals. But under public hearing, upon receipt of a complete application as determined by planning staff, public hearing shall be set with the Board of Appeals in the time frame established by state code. And you know, that would cover all of that in case they change the state code. The way it's set up now, you schedule the hearing 30 days after you receive the appeal, or not less than 30 days after you receive the appeal, but not more than 75 days. So there's a 45-day window. That's what it's agreed to.
State code does or our code does?
State code does. Mm-hmm. And then under four, findings required, this is the one that got us in, I would say it's in trouble. But if you read what I've deleted there, the concurring vote of not less than four members of the Board of Adjustment shall be necessary to grant a variance. Now, this is a variance rather than appeal, which is what we had the meeting about. I'm changing that to the board may act upon a majority vote of the quorum convened. That complies with current state code. They have changed it to make sure. So that's what I would like to do there.
Will you take questions now or do you want to wait?
Go ahead.
How many people have to be in the meeting before?
A quorum is three. And by the way, we adopted a set of bylaws that delineates that.
Okay.
So we have five members on the board and a quorum is three. And the bylaws do say that a majority is necessary, majority vote of those convened is necessary to pass.
So that would be two.
So two would have to vote in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was that all the?
That was the question?
Yeah. Okay.
And the chairman is part of that quorum,
yes,
right?
The chairman votes.
Okay.
Down under unreasonable hardship, actually there was a part of the code that was left out here and I've written it in here. In determining whether or not enforcement of the land use ordinance would cause unreasonable hardship, the board may not find an unreasonable hardship unless the alleged hardship, and then it goes on. And then the rest of these changes are just to change adjustment to appeals. Any other questions about the variance?
Why do we strike land use in 5A and not there?
I just felt like it wasn't necessary. It's not in the state code, and so I just took it off.
Should it be stricken thereafter as well?
Nope. I think I left it in. I tried to conform with the state code as much as I possibly could. I figured that's the safest way to go.
Okay.
Any other questions? So let's move on to 80209, which is on the other page. Again, I've added Board of Appeals in the heading just to delineate that. And I've gone through and changed all the adjustment to appeals. So that's a lot of this. Until you get down to number four. And here again, I've made a change here. Within 5 business days of receipt of a notice of appeal, strike that. And then I've added down at the bottom, the hearing date will be dependent upon availability of seating a quorum of the board. And currently, we are trying to have our meetings on the first or second Tuesday of the month if they're scheduled that way. But what I've run into, I'm also the chair of the Wasatch County Board of Adjustment. It is a board of adjustment there. But what we've run into there is the very difficult situation where we can't get a quorum. So what we've done and changed our rules so that we actually ask the members of the board, what day can you meet in this period? And we take the day that's the earliest that we can get a quorum together. So that's kind of where I would like to take this move as well. It just works out that way easier. Otherwise, if you're trying to schedule everybody on Monday or Tuesday, that just doesn't always work. Okay, so I would like to make that change. And then down under actions of the board number 8, again, I've deleted this statement. The concurring vote of not less than 4 members of the board shall be necessary to reverse any order, requirement, decision, or determination upon the land use ordinance. And this is why I felt that it was okay for us to go ahead with that meeting, because you'd have to have 4 votes to reverse what the Planning Commission had done. We only had 3, and they voted to uphold it. So I would argue that what we had was a legal meeting. We'll see what happens. I've changed that to the board may act only on the majority vote of the convened members.
I would think that instead of the convened members, that you say the convened quorum.
Okay.
Well, I still,
it just makes it consistent.
I still have a little concern that we would, because of the issues that would be discussed, that we only had 2 members voting for it. I would think, you know, to do it, yeah, same with planning or the town council, you have to have basically a quorum of the number of members. So if there were three there, it would take three yes votes. If there were four there, it would take three yes votes.
Unless you change it by code. The state code says majority of those can be.
I know, that may be what the state code says. I'm just saying I'm concerned that we would leave it to a small group, just two people, to make those decisions.
And I would argue that that puts a lot of pressure on those three people to try to come up with a unanimous vote.
Yeah, but that same pressure happens to planning, happens to the town council.
Is it really hard to get all five people?
Yes, it's very hard. I mean, I know we've only had one meeting, but like I say, until the last minute, I thought we had all five.
So what if we increased the potential pool members on that?
I prefer not to do that. We've had a really difficult time getting people to volunteer to do it, and it's just really hard to get folks to actually take the time. A lot of responsibility.
Maybe I'll step off of this board and be on that one if I only have to meet once in every 10 years.
We need you here for now. We need you.
Well, and if we don't have enough on planning, we should never go to board.
Who would be the board?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, all I'm doing tonight is proposing this to you. This is your job to take this and tell the council what you think. I will say, I would argue what Gary just said is that it doesn't comply with the state code. It's okay. We can be more strict, but this got us in trouble by being more strict, and that's what we ran into on the board adjustments at the county level.
I really think maybe we can increase a couple of members on it. I know you don't want to, but that just increases your pool of potential available people to be there.
Well, by code, we have five members. We have to change Title II.
It's supposed to be five.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I agree with your concern. You know, if we have six or seven people here making a decision, to have two to be able to overturn it seems like too few.
Well, they have to apply the law. And I mean, there's a lot of rules here. You don't get to just say, oh, I didn't like that rule, I didn't like that law, I don't like the way this was handled. Well, they have to follow the code, they have to.
And we do too.
I know that. But that's what I'm saying. Their job is to just make sure that there wasn't an error made and that the code is interpreted properly. But again, this is your job. I'm not going to influence you. I'm just giving you the information that I have. Have any questions about anything? The meeting went smoothly. I thought Heber did a great job, and you know, the fact that they upheld your decision seemed the way to go. We've posted the audio, we've posted the draft minutes already, and we'll just see what happens to see if this attorney wants to follow through with what he said. Okay.
Thanks, Barry.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Is there any more discussion on this?
Maybe just a little bit. I'm not following along on number six, the unreasonable hardship. Well, you've written that in, Mary?
Yep. I know. You've got to read it slowly. What do you not do? In determining whether or not enforcement of the land use ordinance would cause an unreasonable hardship, the board may not find an unreasonable hardship unless the alleged hardship is, and then you go on reading through there. So an unreasonable hardship can't be economic, and it can't be self-imposed, but a lot of people will decide that it is an unreasonable hardship because it's going to cost me a lot of money, or it's, you know, that's too difficult for me to do, even though they could comply with the code. This is under a variance now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And see, that's what I'm saying. It was left out of the state code. It was left out here, and the state code states what I just printed in there.
Under 10.98.701. Is that the state code you're referring to?
Nope, that's not the one. Let's see. Did I bring that with me? I don't think I did. Anyway, it's copied directly from the state code.
Okay. That's just a question.
That's okay. I understand. And it was confusing here in our code because that phrase was just completely left out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Thank you.
I'll have lots of time to talk to you about it.
All right.
Okay, we, someone like to make a motion? Would you recommend this to the town council or not?
You have to have a public hearing, remember?
Ah.
Remember, it's got to have two public hearings, and so like I say, this is your first look at it. And so if you decide that you want to set a public hearing, we can't do this real quick. It takes time to change the code. And so, I mean, it's good that it takes time to change the code, because everybody has to think about what you're doing and needs to say just what you need to say. So anyway, tonight, if you could decide if you want to hold a public hearing, there may be some other code changes that you're going to think about tonight. And that's what I would recommend, that you batch some things up, have a public hearing, talk about those things in one public hearing, and then recommend to the council. And then the council can have a hearing and do the same thing. Okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Let's look back at the public hearing after I made the work.
Would you like to set a public hearing for our next meeting?
I think we'll wait till we discuss item number four. And decide, because we need to publish what the public hearing's about. Okay, we talked a little bit about ag permits. And I emailed state code to you. It's also in your packet. Anyone have a chance to read that?
Yep.
Any thoughts?
So it's the whole question whether we're charging or not?
No, it's basically defined what is allowed as an agricultural building and some of the parameters that are required for that. Makes sense to me. Clears up some of the ambiguity that's been going on.
Eric, can you say a lot of this is defined by state code as well?
Yes.
For ag buildings?
Yes, and that's what he's showing you as a state code.
That's not what our code says.
Right.
So I'm still reading the state code, and it's unclear whether whether the buildings that are not exempt by this are, you know, the permit fee are also can pay a permit fee but are exempt from the building code. And I imagine we'll probably have to ask the town attorney what that means or something like that. But that's really my question. The other thing is, you know, the town is, what did you come up with on that? Amelia, do you remember what we were thinking for the cost of an agricultural permit that the town's paying?
The last one we discussed was $350. I'm working on compiling a spreadsheet over the past few years of ag buildings, and so I can give you guys some actual data to look at. But what I've compiled so far, it hovers around the 200 to 500 range, depending on how much involvement that there is from the applicant. I think the most expensive one I saw was 800, but they went back and forth between an accessory structure and just ultimately ended up at an ag building. But yeah, I will have, at the next meeting, a spreadsheet showing you all of the information I have.
Will that define the acreage associated with those ag?
I have it marked if it's under or over, and then if they required the $200 electrical or plumbing inspections too.
Because that'll make a difference. By the state code, if it's over 5 acres, we still won't be able to charge. So, I mean, there's won't be a fix-all, but it will be a fix-some.
Well, and I think we need to be clear, this isn't about the money part of it. It's about the definition of what people are building and what type of inspection needs to be done and what's going on in the building.
Right, if anybody has signed that agricultural clause and then they use it outside of that, they're in deep trouble. Well, the state of Utah gets mad.
Building collapses because it wasn't built to hold the snow and you got five people working in it.
We had a lot of those this winter.
Luckily, not five people working in it that got buried, but...
That we found, that we knew.
Yeah.
It has become a bigger issue, I think, the agricultural. I mean, everybody wants to do it for free and you can't blame them for that, but if they're using it outside of the parameters, then there's a risk. And if it's ag, we don't do an engineering on that at all review, so our hands really, our liability is way, I think, reduced by not doing that. But, and they certainly have that opportunity if they want it. An accessory structure, then that's what they'll put in for it.
Sure.
So it's clearly up to them, but yeah, the paper we have them sign that Gary helped draft, it really has all the nuts and bolts of the state code in it. So it defines that very, and they sign that and have it notarized. So if we do end up going to court, exhibit one would be that paper.
Now, if they sell that property and somebody else buys it, they haven't signed that paper, right?
They haven't. And I don't know if that's disclosed by the real estate. I don't know that.
Probably not. I would bet not. Because the real estate agent would probably not be aware that that paper exists. Yeah. So just a comment for this one and the next one. I took our map that we figured out the number of lots that we have, and this is not an official number, I quickly counted, but 70% of our lots are less than 5 acres.
How many of those are built on already?
I don't know, I can't see
half
anything on that map.
So I think there's more than half.
I think when Ryan did that takeoff, it was at 50% right now. We're at 50% build up. That takes all the big parcels, splits them into 5 acre parcels. We're
right.
At 50% right now in the town. So we could technically have that also divided and double our size.
If you maximize, subdivide all the lots bigger than five and build a house on each of them.
Correct.
I think when we did our count and divided them up, we had 506 lots, which if you go with our average residence, number of residents in a house, that would mean we're about two-thirds built out. Or, yeah. I mean, we'd have to do more research, and I'm just saying this was a quick count, but.
Yeah, and that's subject to all those people subdividing, which we know they all own.
I was more curious on the non-conforming lots. I think there are.
Yeah, so I counted 303.
Non-conforming lots?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but a lot are built on.
Yeah, I didn't.
But of those that are not built on, in other words, how many are sitting out there? That's later for our discussion.
Yeah,
absolutely none of those are lots.
Yeah,
absolutely none of those are lots.
Non-conforming.
Wrong term, thank you. Okay.
So anyway, any thoughts on, you know, should we come up with a suggested change to the code?
Well, my concern as I thought through all these for quite a while, you do have lots of property that are non-conforming, non-buildable lots. They're all over in town.
That's our next discussion, though. This is for the ag buildings.
Okay, I thought you were going on.
No, I would just say.
It was me that got ahead. Don't follow me.
No. I was in non-conformers.
I was too. We're all
non-conformers.
All of us were moved on.
No, I was just telling you that I counted 303 lots, or 70% of the lots, current parcels in the town would be affected by this change.
Where, yeah, a fee would be charged on that building there.
Yeah.
My thoughts are, I think we ought to be charging something for it. If the town's incurring the cost, I think we ought to try and recoup it. I think we get a bit of this data to try and understand some best methodology for that, and to be efficient, but if the town's having to shell out money for it.
And then it goes in the general fund? Pay for people to move here.
Yeah, we don't need to subsidize that.
Appealed out for the planning and permits, stays in that category, is okay. So what do we need to change here so that we can't charge on any of those?
We would have to go back and look at what our code says and make a change to that.
Last month, didn't we make a recommendation to council?
We sent a recommendation to the council.
What did they say? You're saying we have to change code first.
We would have to be a public hearing. I don't know. I wasn't able to make it to the council meeting. I don't know if the council discussed it.
What are we talking about now?
The change to charge for
ag buildings.
We have not.
They wouldn't make a decision until you had a recommendation there.
Well, we sent.
We sent one last.
We sent them one.
Yeah, I think that was discussed, and they said, yes, we should look at it.
So the problem, the fee was.
Yeah, we like that. Go ahead.
Good idea, guys.
Finish that thought.
What was our proposal?
That we should begin to charge a nominal fee.
To be decided.
It's in the minutes.
To be determined.
It was nominal fee to be determined, and when.
Let's get the numbers, see what makes sense.
Well, in the minutes, it was discussed $350 to $375 was kind of the average, but the council was fine with that, but looking for maybe a little bit more direction, like on a specific number.
For next month's meeting, and then look it over, talk through, and then make the final. Make the number not TBD.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it would need a public hearing, so.
Yes, and there'll be one next month.
But we need to know that before we can set a hearing.
No, we can set the hearing for next month.
We can set the hearing for next month.
Discuss the number next month when we do it, right?
Discuss the number and any code changes.
Just a question, is there any thought of looking at all of the fees? Revising the whole fee structure?
We haven't talked about it.
I guess is that a planning responsibility or town council responsibility?
Just asking a question. But you haven't.
I believe that it's town council responsibility, not planning, so. We probably won't look at it.
Don't you think we, before we hold a public hearing on this, have our base verbiage down with the number that's proposed and things so that the public knows what they're going to come and comment on?
Yeah.
So I think that's what we need to do in our next meeting, is establish what the verbiage of that change would be, fee structure, whatever. And then the following month will have to be a public hearing to.
Well, if you're already having a public hearing next month about the Board of Appeals, then it kind of makes sense to.
That's the next question for Mary, is how soon do you need this public hearing done for the Board of Appeals?
Regardless of what we do, there may be a lawsuit. We couldn't, I mean, because what we did was under the old code.
Right, yeah.
So there's, you know, normally, we don't change the code until November. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That we try to take care of all the business and then do all those changes at one time. And that, the reasoning for that was that people could count on, this is what the code is until everything is done all at the same time.
Sure.
So I would say, there's no major rush on this, but I just wanted to get this started because, you know, I should have done it earlier.
But if you're looking at November, then you got to have two public hearings, you're kind of done.
So the public hearing for planning would be October. The public hearing for council would be November, which is the one they would have for the code changes.
We could do
September.
Am I right in that, Eric?
Yes.
That's correct, okay.
Well, we can do all our discussion in September and set the public hearing for October. That'll be just right for the timing for them, so that makes sense.
So my suggestion would be to set the public hearing now so that we know we have the one, or, you know.
Do you want the public hearing in October? So do you want to have one more discussion in September?
Yes.
And then public hearing in October?
That's our discussion in motion.
I would motion as such.
Second, so is that.
You have that, Kim?
Yes, sir.
As such, yeah, no.
So next month, she's going to provide you with the information.
So we will have a discussion next month.
Okay.
Next month, we'll establish a public hearing.
Okay, sounds good, okay.
So the motion is to have a public hearing on.
I think we'll make that next time.
I'd suggest making it now because we have the issue that Mary needs done. And so we've got to do that no matter what, so let's go ahead and set that so we know we have to do that.
Code in.
Okay, so the Board of Appeals and the ag building fee, okay.
Okay, have a motion, is there a second?
Yeah, I've said it.
Right, call for the vote?
Well, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Warner, yes.
Bangeter, yes.
Bang, yes.
Okay, motion carries. Okay, let's move to item five, which is the non-conforming lots discussion. We still have the information about the non-conforming lots. Somehow got to come up with at least a recommendation on how we handle it consistently. I don't know if any of you have had time to think about it since the last meeting.
Hello. My whole thing is that you have all these parcels that have been fenced off for 20 years and 30 years, and some of them have had houses on them that have burned down. And so the code says you really can't do anything with that parcel. You can't sell it. You can't camp on it more than 16 days. You can't do anything except you have to come and maintain it to keep the fire down and the junky appeal down and whatever. So that's the problem with where we're at currently.
You can, in most cases, sell it.
Not as a buildable lot.
No.
I can sell it to somebody
for a... You can
sell
it to someone for another purpose. To grow...
An agricultural purpose.
Yeah.
Can you build an accessory building on an unbuildable lot?
No.
Okay, so you're...
What if
you're,
they have one?
We do have that in town. But it's in the lot building.
That was probably before the town.
Yeah.
The county code, the county code used to allow you to build an accessory structure without a building permit. However, they changed that prior to 2006 when we adopted the code, and you can't do that in the county either.
Yeah. So that's my thing, and I don't have the solution yet, but we have all these junky, useless fields unless somebody can put a horse or a cow or a goat or something. That's basically their option.
Yeah. And how many of those there actually are, I don't know at this point.
Is it I guess a known thing of how many of those came about post creation of the town versus pre?
All of them were probably pre.
Yeah, all of them are pretty illegal subdivide ones.
Yeah.
Well, agreed, but
the one
so there's not a...
That everybody used to build them.
And the couple we have, you know, if the house burns down, you have a year to establish your use and continue that.
Sure.
Nobody's penalizing you for being on a substandard lot.
for the zoning when zoning's changed.
To do.
It's after you let that sit, use as check, and then our code clearly speaks to, you'll now conform with the new code.
Yeah, you have a year.
That's the idea of the code. Everything falls into that. So you're looking at a code change if we looked at changing that very thing, but it is an item. I mean, that's something that we got to look at because.
So if somebody had 4 acres and had a well and a septic tank and an auxiliary building on it and they've owned it for over 50 years, would that be a buildable lot or not?
It's not that simple. Was it recorded? Was it subdivided legally?
Oh, Eric, come on.
Yeah. And the answer is usually no.
It's good to know.
But then again, it might have been.
Yeah.
But if it was, if it is, like our code says, they could build on it then if they prove that it was created legally back in the day, right?
The council's under no obligation to recognize a lot of records issued by the county. However, I can tell you to this point, the council has.
Sure.
So if they come with that lot of record certificate, was done legal, that's what that certificate says, we did it legal when it was time, then those have been honored. They're under no obligation, but so far that's what happened.
What's the septic minimum now? It's 3 or 2?
So.
Septic is 5.
So the septic is kind of a weird thing. On a pre-approved lot, we had the health department here, and what did he say, Mary, 2.5?
Well, my question was, are we doing the right thing by sticking with our 5-acre zoning? And he said, absolutely. You know, to sustain the septic systems. And so there was a question about what Charleston has done when it got to smaller acreages, but they're balancing the smaller acreages with a larger acreage. So, you know, for instance, you have 10 acres, you can build on 2 acres and 8 acres and still have a septic on both. Balancing it out. That's what I remember that meeting. Is that what answered your question?
Yeah, and I think that's what he said. 2.5 acres is what they've gone down to on these pre-existing lots. But the RA5, everything in the county went RA5 is not on sewer for that very reason. It's a pristine water classification that they're trying to maintain in the valley wide.
Even if we come up a way of fixing the code, making those buildable lots, that becomes effectively a non-starter.
So what if an individual is willing to spend a couple of $100,000 on a nitrogen, whatever, where they treat their water?
If you can get that past the health department, who serves as our authority, then we sign off. We don't go back and ask, why did you move this?
The reason I said is because I asked the health department the question, if I put a barn in, I'd love to put a bathroom in my barn so I don't have to be out there with pig poop on my boots and run to the house to go to the bathroom. I'd like to just go to the one there in the barn and take my hose out and spray whatever I tracked in out. And he said, absolutely not, unless you redo your whole septic system to account for that, or you can put in a nitrogen mitigation, whatever that was called.
Yeah, system.
So if somebody's willing to pay that, does that change how we're willing to rezone or to open some of these non-conforming parcels?
Again, I think we rely on the health department. Once they sign off on that system, we don't really have the authority to override that. We've adopted them as our.
Okay, so what's the basis of our 5 acre other than to then maintain our agricultural atmosphere in the space?
Absolutely, that's exactly it, right? What it is. Yep. Yep, your rural atmosphere is exactly what you're protecting. And you shouldn't hide behind a sewer issue. Your zoning
that's
should be
separate.
That's
what I'm saying. Because there's
right.
ways around the sewer.
That's
what
right.
I'm saying.
That's right. Your zoning should stand alone.
It might cost me $250,000, but.
I would say at this point, the health department is being pretty strict. And it's not certain what they would approve and what he would not.
It just depends what goes into the ground.
So I think there are a lot of factors go into it. You know, what's around it. I don't know. I'm certainly not an expert.
Can I just throw something out here? So after our last meeting, was a family member who's a real estate attorney. It was a lot of work in Summit County and other areas, and we talked about this at length. And his recommendation, so this is, you know, off the record, it's not Daniel's attorney or anything, his recommendation to me was, your planning commission doesn't have any responsibility to take someone's lot and all of a sudden make it worth 10 times as much money. That's not our job here.
Right, for sure.
Our job is to protect the town, what we want it to look like. If we don't want any undeveloped lots, then we should do something about it. If we like the more green space, the better, even if they turn into weeds, then we leave it how it is. But we don't have a responsibility to those property owners to do something to increase their property value.
Yeah, I don't feel it.
Yeah.
100% your responsibility, the general plan and to the code.
Yeah. And most places like Summit County would just say, oh, cool, more green space. They're happy to have that.
So the reason I put this on the agenda was just for the discussion, not to try to find a decision, but we're faced with this, and it's kind of, how do we deal with it? What are our responsibilities? So that was the purpose for that. I think we should continue thinking about that.
Are those lots problematic as far as the neighborhoods and do we have
one of the
four
lots
things
is,
going on?
One of the lots is under litigation, so
right.
We have to be careful about.
But there are others that are.
Well, I'm
I
saying
know,
if
I'm
we got
saying,
squatters coming in and sitting on some of them, if we got.
Yes.
Yes. And another thing, I just will throw this out for you to think of, is there may be a way to. If they can work through their septic and their sewer issues, there may be a way to do a restriction for square footage on those lots and do so you're doing a variance on those lots and allowing that to become a lot based on what you want to see there of a small lot. So the restrictions you could apply to that.
How would this affect your idea? How would that affect our compliance to affordable housing?
Well, affordable housing is a double-edged sword.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing me and you can do about affordable housing short of building houses.
Right.
I mean, that's really up to the builders. And we sat through a ton of meetings. They want you to comply, have your plan, all this. And it's really not up to us. We can encourage it.
But if we restrict the square footage on some of these non-conforming lots, that's obviously going to reduce what the...
Probably not enough to get there.
It's about
an acre lot.
It would help.
It's an average of your community. I mean, there's a big formula that says it's affordable or not.
Right, and I think our plan says we need 7 in the next 5 years for affordable lots. That definition's still floating.
But that's my thing, is can we use some of those to meet that?
Absolutely, we would use that. We use the trailer park. We use all of those low income that we can get, because, I mean, that's the goal is... They want you to comply, so that's just another angle I thought that maybe you guys could think of, is just putting a restriction on those lots for size of. Tough job, I know. It's a tough job.
I'm sweating.
Okay. Any other comments on this one? Okay. The next one I brought up.
That was it.
Came from the ag building thing, talking about agricultural protection areas. And I think that's something else that we may want to look at. So I don't know if you have any chance to look at that at all. So basically, I had another sheet, but we don't have, it has a summary. But basically, you're saying this is an established area for agriculture. Zoning stays put for 20 years, and it's renewable. It limits...
And it doesn't have to be 5 acres, correct?
No, it doesn't. It limits the ability of other entities to use eminent domain. Requires UDOT to look at alternate routes. Allows you to continue agriculture and notifies any neighboring property owners that that is an agricultural protection area. For example, Orem used to have lots of orchards. You put a subdivision around it, you can't spray anymore. So then the orchard becomes a subdivision too, because that's all they can do with it. So it gives neighboring properties notice that this is an agricultural operation or agricultural area. And so I think there's some real benefits to looking at that. And I just wanted to throw that out to the Planning Commission for some thoughts. There's some work that has to happen for that to go, but do we have an area that really would make sense?
Is this something where the landowners have to like buy onto it, or the...
Yes.
Yeah.
The landowners have to buy onto it. They can opt out afterwards at any time. But it may be something that the town may be interested in doing.
This is what they're doing in the North Beach.
Yeah.
The landowners there are requesting. In fact, Wasatch County has established this zone so that they can request. Several large landowners there in the process.
So we would have to, work with the town council to get something like this to happen, work with the residents to see what the interest is.
I think it's a good idea to try.
Yeah.
Because the viability of the bypass and other things have is real.
Yeah.
Way Heber City's doing it, I shouldn't say that.
So if you look at page 5 of that, sub-41-406, it says a state agency that plans any development project that might affect land within an agricultural protection area, industrial protection area. There's 3 different kinds. I'm suggesting the agricultural one. So submit state agency's development plan and advisory board to relevant protection area. And basically, they make a recommendation, but it would be the town council's decision whether that could go forward or not. Which gives us a little bit more local control than we would have otherwise. Same with transportation corridors. Besides the idea that, agriculture could and should continue in town. Because if we get to where, like I said, where you can't farm land anymore, then your only choice really is to farm houses.
Do you have any thoughts on what areas or the whole thing? Or
we'd have to see what kind of support we get, but I would like to at least see a large area of 3,000 south. So that would include the area where I live, where Kip lives, up
there. President lives. Mm-hmm. I live there.
Eric lives.
Eric's kind of, this Eric, yeah. That Eric.
I'm south.
Is zoned commercial, so he really can't be in that protection zone.
Makes sense.
Okay. This is going to take some time, so I'll put it on the agenda again for next month, give you a chance to read about it. There's some good summaries that the state has put on the internet. The Utah State Department of Agriculture has a couple of brochures.
So the areas you're talking about is Big Hollow.
I'm just throwing that
out. No,
yeah.
But but do you want them to look at anything else? Do you want them to look at Little Sweden?
First, I really want them to decide whether it makes sense or not.
Okay.
And then we could figure out, you know, where it makes sense. And a lot of that's going to depend on the residents and what their desires are. Because, you know, some of the requirements are that, you know, a certain percentage of the residents, which is actually a large percentage, that have to agree. I just want to begin the discussion, see if it makes sense. It might also give us a chance to see what residents' vision is for the future. You know, say, well, we don't want that, you know, we want to be just like Heber and have 20 houses per acre out here, just like everywhere else. We want to be like them. I'm just saying that, thinking that I hope no one does want that.
What are the drawbacks? It's got to be a negative.
I don't really see any drawbacks from my point of view. Yeah. But
except that limits development in the future.
Yeah.
They can't. But you said you can opt out.
But you can, and the property owner can opt out. At any time.
Some recourse.
Individual by individual one, or it doesn't have to be like a percentage of swath?
It can be by an individual.
So is the town attorney weighed in on this yet or not?
No. We're just exploring. They would have to weigh in before we passed anything. The council would have to do some work.
So the only thing I seen was if you wanted to change zoning, negative. If you want to change zone in that area, every single person has to agree to change the zone, or it doesn't happen.
Right.
So that could be a negative.
Sure.
If you're trying to direct from a political.
But at the same time, an individual can withdraw from the agriculture protection zone.
Yeah.
And then,
which they'd have to do if that's what they want. They can never assign on to change the zone.
Right. And then it's good for 20 years, and then can be renewed for another 20 years.
I mean, that makes it tough for spot zoning and stuff like that that you guys all have to deal with.
Yes.
Spot zoning. So there are some things you need to look at.
Agreed.
Yeah.
A lot more to learn first, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And harder to administer.
Perhaps. Perhaps easier.
It may. If it aligns with your general plan, then it may be a good wiser.
Yeah. So, anyway, take a look at that. I've got the state code text in there, but there's more information online, so take a look at that and we'll talk about it again in our next meeting. Okay, let's move to item 7, which is grading and road permit for Gressman.
That's us.
Okay.
Here. A lot of new faces from 4 years ago.
Okay. Do we have any information?
I didn't have anything to hand out.
I brought some copies.
Thank you. Yeah, this was discussed several years ago.
Yes.
We subdivided the lot to do at that point. We passed the code to approve the road on the old road to create frontage in front of our house. And so that's now we've got the road in and everything. We know how the distance that we need to create to get our 100-foot of frontage in front of where we're going to get it.
This is so small. Catch us up on exactly where this is. It's
on Little Sweden.
It's 1850. It's about three or four houses in on the left when you turn on the Little Sweden from Suburban Propane. Right there, it's Jen's grandma's old house. Was there
Weathers? Who's one with the big weather thing up
front? Bonnie Simmons.
Two down from that one, sir. I have a larger plan here.
So what you're looking at tonight is just the grading permit portion of this. That's what the application's for. It's a grading permit for the road.
Okay.
So I've been
here. Yeah, they subdivided.
Yes, sir.
Yep, all subdivided. Okay.
So any issues from the engineering side or anything?
We're okay with it. The plans are sufficient.
Okay. Any questions from the planning commission? Okay. I have a motion.
Don't even try. It'll hurt your eyes.
Do you guys want this bigger one?
Yeah. Please, thank you, ma'am.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Next time, will you have
a ready to share this a little bit? Let me get you a little more. Here you go. So here's Little Sweden right here.
Okay.
So this would be port entry out here. So you're coming in this way. This is where Jen's grandma's house is. And so this easement is what we're proposing.
This is on the south side of the road.
And what is it going to?
So here, this is where our subdivided lot is here. And so, yeah, so we're going to do a roundabout driveway for the fire truck. We're not going to do a hammerhead or a T for the driveway. We're just going to bring it in and make our right-of-way just make us, this is not a drawing, but this driveway will circle for that fire truck to get in and out. So what we're trying to do is create this 100-foot of frontage from this point to this point at the beginning of our lot to create the frontage for the house. We're going to have to pave 750 feet from the road to get to that point.
Well, you got money.
It's a lot of money, sir.
I know.
But that's, yeah, so we're just looking to make sure we can get this grant approval.
There's not a road or a lane there?
There is a road there now. It's a right, it's an easement.
Is that the one that drops over and then goes down off the hill?
Yep, so that's the back. Yep, and then that's my father-in-law's ground that fills up on
there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, exactly. So this.
Is this what Addison Hicken's been farming?
This is not getting farmed currently here.
Well, I know he's been doing up on the hill. Doug Seuss.
Yeah.
Down by Doug Seuss.
Yeah. Down.
This is further
down.
This is east.
We run alfalfa on this upper on this whole area right here. So we're literally just sucking up 1 acre of this for the home.
He meant to say 5 acres.
Well. We have the but as far as the home,
the lot is 6 acres.
We're not maintaining. We're maintaining 5 acres of agriculture.
There you go.
It's been a while since I've been here, Eric. Give me a break.
Just helping.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
And the fire department's cool with a roundabout kind of thing there for
that
truck.
My understanding is that it's either a hammerhead or a roundabout that's the same width as the road that enables that truck to turn around. And so as long as we can accomplish that in our driveway, mm-hmm. you know, and get them around, then we won't have to build a hammerhead down here where you have to turn.
So is it?
So you'll see all that.
Do we have in writing from the fire department that this proposal that we've been asked the grading permit? I mean, we're grading for the actual road, right?
Right.
So has that road been approved by the fire department?
It has not. However, the fire department will have a letter before the building permit's issued, and they will sign off on that prior to us issuing a building permit. That's when you'll see that.
Okay, so we'll try to put that in motion.
This is just the grading permit.
Yeah.
But it's when they can't build until they get fire department approval.
Yeah, so it's just
and that. So that's when that comes in. They don't really need fire department approval for grading.
To move dirt.
Yeah.
Right, so it's a good catch, but it's just
Well,
he might want to do some homework to make sure he grades it according to what the fire department.
Yeah, that risk is back on the homeowners at this point, right? That you're doing what the fire department is going to eventually want from you.
We'll jump through it if we need to.
That's sure hard to argue with. Do anything you want.
I'm in construction. I know what to say.
I'll make a motion if you're still open to it.
I am.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the Grassman grading road permit.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Okay. Call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Porter, yes.
Banger,
yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you. Bob Brady, building permit.
There you go. You're going to be seeing a lot of us, it sounds like.
You're fine.
Oh,
be right behind you.
Okay. So next item is the Highway 40 storage concept change.
Here he is. What do you do now?
Here he is.
It's my turn.
It's your turn.
Good to see the planning commission. It's been a few months since I was here. We've been very busy. Heard a couple of emails that I was sending around. Tragically, we have learned that our two-story concept is too expensive for our partnership. And so keeping the same setbacks, everything that the town has requested of us in place, we are proposing to cut off the second story and do a single level story in hopes that it will be feasible to develop. And even though we spent tons of money on architectural and mechanical, electrical, and plumbing, you know, that's the process. We've got to do that in order to get bids, in order to submit that through the city to make sure everything lines up. So we're here letting you know and to take a look at our plans to see if you have any comments, concerns, etc.
Question. So a few months ago, we approved a one-story plan. Is this exactly the same as that, or is it different than that?
What you approved, I think it was, what, January, February?
I think two approvals
ago.
Was it two-story?
There was a one-story that went to a two-story.
We've had a one that went to a two.
And then a two that went to a one, like a month or two ago.
And it could be, my memory is I never got approval on a single story. We had talked about it conceptually, but we never did propose that.
Okay, well, is it the same as it was back when it was a one, or is there something?
The footprint is virtually the same. All we're doing is taking off that second level. We're still proposing to put our manager's residence above the office. Just not taking the second level completely with storage. It's basically, the footprint is going from basically 90 some odd thousand down to 50. So a lot less.
The footprint
less
or the square footage?
The square footage overall.
Because your footprint shouldn't change if you just shave off the top.
Correct. Rather than 97,000 square feet of storage, this is going to be 44 and change. The whole square footage is almost right on 50,000 feet. And we're hoping that that'll be economical to proceed forward. But we
well,
still
you
have
told
to get
us before it wasn't.
It
you
was.
Said, you said the one story didn't pencil. We have to go to a two story.
That's correct. And in that time period, I think our beautiful federal government jacked up the interest rates almost double from when we first started this project. And it pains me, because we were super excited and gung-ho to make that work, because at those rates, it was great.
So is this the manager residence, or is it somewhere else?
No, that's about right where the manager's residence. Right below there is where you'd walk into the office, and those three business units are on the side. That's the signage above each of those doors.
Yeah, and these will be three separate businesses,
correct,
right? And then this is the storage unit business.
That's the storage office, the main office.
And then the
manager's residence is right above it.
Okay, so the problem I have with this is we have two sheets in our pack. One has two-story concept, one has the change concept, which I'm assuming that's what we were trying to get to show what the change was.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You shouldn't have a two-story. I've got a single story here from all the elevations. Maybe
I've got this one.
It's the same thing. It just needs to be. Oh, yeah, that's what we got a bid on originally that we're scrapping.
Right.
This is
so
the single story.
Let me continue
here
with what my problem is. If you look at the sheet title on both of those, it says A2.00.
Yes.
And now that we've gone through, I don't know how many plans, how do we know what we approved and what we didn't? Because they're titled the same. They have, at least this one had a date of December of last year. And so
there's a revision that the structural engineer has labeled that I can show you which one was approved.
So
I just don't have that right.
So this one we're throwing out right here. Did you have to wait?
So I guess my thing is before we approve anything, we ought to know exactly and state in the motion what it is we're approving. It should be on the plan title so that the engineering, so that Argura knows what it is that we approved.
And I think that's very, very fair. And
Makes sense. I'd like to get that to you. Interest rates may drop again before we get this approved.
I would love that. I would love that.
The rate we're going.
I don't want any more gray hairs, believe me. But if it means having a few more gray hairs, Byron, so the rates come down, I'm all for it.
Okay, so is there any questions or discussion?
Is there any change to the footprint, to the ingress, egress areas, to fencing, to...
The width, which I think would be more in favor of the fire department and the town, could be a foot or two wider from the building, the setbacks that is. But the footprint itself, setbacks, the you know, 2.5 acres or thereabouts that we deed restricted is all virtually the same.
Is the deed restriction done?
Yes.
That's been filed.
Yeah, that was like 2 years ago or so.
Have you guys back when interest rates were much lower?
Have you looked at the...
And if we had 4 3-acres, we probably...
We only received this. We haven't received engineer plans to review.
Yeah, this is just the concept we're talking about, not building permit.
Okay. So the concept changes effectively 2 stories to 1 at this point, but it's still not nailed down.
Right, we still have to do the plans to get the bids and cross our toes and fingers and pencils.
So I have a future question. Do you build this as a single level building and then come back once it's become profitable and add the second story down the road?
That actually was brought up, which I think would be really appealing. The way this concept is laid out with some 14-foot doors on the far south end, you couldn't do that. We'd have to go all the same level in order to have that option down the road, or stick with this.
You could do a partial.
And then the other thing is the steel, from what it was explained to me by the structural engineer, you'd have to, with that in mind, make sure that obviously that steel is going to be adequate, which then adds a whole layer of cost that I'm just thinking, you know, our small partnership probably wouldn't bear that too well if it didn't come back feasible. It just seems like a lot of money for a hope and a dream, basically. I don't know.
So let me bring something else up. So this is as if we're starting over, right?
Sure, it feels that way.
And our town right now has a moratorium on building any storage units, right?
I've heard that you're working on that.
It's a done deal for how many more months? So I don't think we can approve this even if we want to, can we, Gary?
So you have an application that's in before you made a code change.
So we've approved that application,
that
right?
Application for that application is approved. Okay. He can build that. But how does this change affect that application?
He's just modified. I mean, your application is still...
Change order.
Yeah, it's still the same application.
Yeah,
same
he's date. In prior to that. So him with the prior code. That's what all the code speaks to is the application. So the thing that you did say, the footprint may be a little bit wider. You better check that because Menlove, I believe, was your builder. And we had centered that in there. And I think you only had a 2-foot variance. So if you went wider, you better not have gone more than 2 feet. Or I don't think you can use
what I'm that. Saying is the building width may be even more narrow now.
Okay, then you're doing good.
Your setback width is what you said, I think.
You're still wide.
Yeah, you're still good if it went narrower.
Wider, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah, because he actually adjusted your plan because one side was off. One was 32 and one was 25. And he says, why don't you just center that? So that helped. Yeah.
So what do we need to do?
Just need a motion to approve or not approve the concept?
I'll make a motion that we approve the current concept plan that reduces the 2-story unit to a 1-story based on the fact that flat map will still accommodate all of the necessary setbacks and egress
requirements.
Okay, do you have a second?
I'll second.
Didn't hear, did someone second it?
I did.
Okay.
We can't second.
Okay. Have a motion and a second, is there any discussion? Okay, I'll call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
Yen, yes.
Horner, yes.
Egger, yes.
Shannon, yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll be looking for updated plans? Okay.
So I hope you give us several weeks and we'll cross our toes and fingers.
There's a little frustration here, and I'm sure you as well. But I actually liked it better, not as tall, so. Thank you. Be in touch.
Good luck.
All right.
Okay, so number nine, we are doing a 9/11. So there's a 9/11 day of service nationwide. And Wasatch County is part of that. What the town of Daniel has decided to do as our town day of service is to clean up brush and overgrowth in the Stormhaven area. So Scott's planning on heading that up, and Julie Wagstaff is helping him with that. However, anybody that would like to participate, the meeting will be at the Heber City Park, and there anybody who wants to. You
chocolate
have kiddos or yes, exactly. But you can do that. Scott apparently is not going to stop for milk and donuts. He's going to head straight to Stormhaven. But anyway, so if you have any service organizations that are looking for days of service, Stormhaven is a pretty particular kind of skill set there, but there will be things all over the county that if you have youth or anybody who would like to participate, they will have signups, or you can just go and pick your service project that day. But it's 9/9, not 9/11, because 9/11's on a Monday. So that's what that is about. But we wanted to make sure that everybody knows about that. So.
It's in Heber Park. Do you know what time it is?
At 9 a.m.
9 a.m. on
yeah, Monday. And yeah, and I put. I think I have in your packet. Flyer, if not, they're out there. So,
okay. Thank you.
But all right. Yeah, but if you want to help with Stormhaven, then you should probably contact Scott, just because parking is so scarce there, and they're gonna bring chainsaws and wood chippers and they're actually the trees they're gonna cut down. They're going to bundle for the residents to burn during the winter if they'd like. So
is that just sitting here?
Why are you laughing at me?
Block out. They're blocking out the fire, but bundle.
I don't know those words.
Such a city girl.
Okay. I am a city girl. We have a gas fireplace.
That's right.
So if you put wood in your if you put wood in your stove, then it will be blocked out.
That's hot wood's gonna burn.
It will be very easy. So that's what that's about.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Item 10, planner report.
You have a planner report in your packet? That's what's going on.
Where's Utah Broadband now?
Knocking on my door.
Everywhere. They never come on my street yet.
They were close.
Well, they came to the door and asked us all to sign up, but they haven't been back to do anything yet. so.
Yeah.
They called me to see if I was ready to have them put the drop across my yard.
They didn't across our yard. So just on, all along Daniel Road. And so I'm 3115 and they have dropped cable in our yards.
So they took the request and they're out working. You see two or three vans out working the town. And they're still running more lines, so.
They came to run my line, which I sold them, I took them lots.
The only thing I like about it is they said they will never raise their rates. So if you sign up as they're putting stuff in, they promise to never raise their rates, I guess, until they sell to somebody else.
Yeah, until they do.
Yep. Okay, any questions for Eric on the planning report? No, we'll move to item 11, the engineer report. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, so we're still continuing to work on funding options for the Storm Haven water system upgrades. We recently received an email from the Water Smart Grant, which is a federal grant. It's specifically for western states that are prone to drought to help build the infrastructure they need for storage, which is really what Storm Haven needs. So I'm hopeful that that's a good option, but those aren't due until December, so it'll be a long application process, which I will work with.
We do intend to file the application. That's the plan.
Yep.
Anything else? All right, thank you. Did everyone have a chance to look at the minutes?
It was a really short meeting, last meeting, and a lot of the same discussion over and over and over again. So.
Circular discussion.
It really, really, really was.
The woman was pushing my buttons.
I didn't put anything about button pushing.
No button pushing.
Okay.
Motion on these?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we accept these. This is from the July 19th meeting.
Okay, is there a second?
I'd second that we approve.
Approve, thank you.
All right, health and vote.
Wild, yes.
Yin, yes.
Horner, yes.
Abstain.
I'm writing it down.
Bennett, yes.
Horner, you abstain?
No.
I did because it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
So motion carries.
Good.
We'll move to item 13. Have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
Yes, McGinn.
Yes. Bennett, yes.
Okay, meeting's adjourned.